Well, today I want to say thanks, first of all, for being in the service today and being here at Spotlight and sharing the Advent season with us. It is our prayer that as you come to church and you worship with us, it's more than just going through the ritual of going to church, but especially during the Advent season, that somehow God would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would just speak to our hearts in a fresh and new way and remind us of what he's able to do and what he has done and what he's going to do. And so hopefully this is that kind of service today. Let me read together for you, and we've been working through Luke chapter 1, and so we're going to continue on in that today, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to talk about joy, and we're going to talk about joy is when you've, and if you want joy, it happens when you find God's way of living your life. And so we're going to read it from Luke chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 39 to 56, and just want to read it for you this morning. And as I read this passage, it's all about how Mary visits Elizabeth, and then she breaks out into song. Now, if you expect me to break out into song, that's not going to happen, all right? So it's just not going to take place. But I want to read it for you and just catch the sense of joy that Mary has as she shares this. So in Luke chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 39 and reading from the New International Version, it says, "At that time, Mary got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored? The mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her.'" And here's where Mary begins to sing her song. "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.' And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home." Wow, what a great passage that we have to look at today as we talk about the subject of joy. And as we look at this passage today, Mary is rejoicing not so much in what has happened in the past. And some of us, we can get excited about things that happened in the past, but you know what? Those things are in the past. In this particular passage, it's interesting for us to note, and you can follow along, you can take some notes by using your note sheet. But it's interesting to note that Mary's rejoicing, not in the past, but Mary is rejoicing in the anticipated work that God is going to do in her life. She's going to have a baby that was put there by the Holy Spirit. She was going to see this Son of God become someone who would be the Savior of the world that would redeem mankind. And as she got excited and joyful in her life, her joy came because she was anticipating something that was yet to come. And so I want to ask you this morning as we begin this message together about joy, I think it's important to note or to ask, what are you anticipating God to do in your life as we soon close out 2018 and we start a brand new year in 2019? Because if you are not anticipating something that God is going to do in a fresh way, you're going to have a hard time to be joyful. Did you hear me this morning? You're going to have a hard time to have the joy of the Lord truly and authentically to be in your life if you have lost faith that God is going to do something new in the days to come. And so I want to encourage you as we begin this message. I want to ask you, are you rejoicing because you believe God still has something exciting that he wants to do in your life? Do you still believe that God is working in your circumstances? Because the day you stop believing and you stop having faith, that's the day that your joy will diminish and you'll begin to lose hope. And I don't want that for any of us today. And during this Christmas season, I want us to, our lives to bubble up with authentic joy, not the fake stuff, but I mean authentic joy where in good times and bad times, the presence of the living God is there and we just know it, and he will guide us through financial times, difficult relationships. He'll guide us through raising our kids. He'll guide us through all of that, that we would have that kind of anticipation. You know what? God's not finished with me yet. He still has a work he wants to do. So this morning, I get excited because I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but I know that God's not done with me yet. And so I'm still very happy, I'm very joyful. I've got dreams that I'm still dreaming, I've got hopes that I still have. I have faith in a living God that he's going to do incredible things, immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. Do you have that today? Do you have that kind of hope? If you don't, you're going to have a hard time to be a joyful person in your life. You'll end up being miserable and going through life as a sense of duty, and you won't have a delight in doing the things that maybe God would like you to do. And so the joy and the thrill of serving God will diminish in your life if you are not anticipating or looking ahead for God to do something brand new in your life. And Mary was doing that. Mary sang her song of joy. I wish I could sing. Man, I figure out a way to do that and sing Mary's song. I picture when we read that scripture, and I didn't do it justice, but when Mary was saying those words, it was just been so melodious, and the sound was so wonderful. She was excited about what God was doing. And when we think about the year ahead, I want you to have that kind of a joy in your life. But I know, and you know, that sometimes it's hard to sing. Sometimes it's hard to sing when the pain is happening all around you. It's hard to sing when you just got the shock of bad news into your life. Or maybe you're struggling with health problems and sicknesses in your life. Or even today with depression on the rise, it's hard to sing when your depression is there and it takes the air out of your lungs and it makes singing almost impossible. I know about that. I know that people are struggling with that in so many different ways. And that's why I think today, as we talk about the subject of joy, we need to pay careful attention to Mary's song. Mary's song isn't just put there to fill the pages of the Bible. Mary's song is there to remind us of how we need to go about finding joy in our own lives, in the midst of the pain, the shock, the sickness, the depression. How do you find that joy when life looks so miserable and in so many different ways? And so we need to pay careful attention to Mary's situation. And I think that's why that's in Scripture for us to follow. Pay close attention to what is there. If there was ever a person who probably had a reason not to sing, I would submit to you that it was Mary. First of all, she was approximately between 14 and 16. Some even saying she might even been 13 years old. But here she was, a young girl. And she was probably, in her day and age, she was probably more property than she was person. You saw the lights go out, right? So we just have a timer to make you sort of notice that. But Mary was more property than person. So if there's anybody that was going to be discouraged, if there's anybody that was going to say life sucks, it was going to be Mary, because she was that kind of a person that really, she just felt like she was property more than a person. Here she was pregnant without the dignity and the cover of marriage. She wasn't married to Joseph yet, and here she was going to have a baby. And can you imagine when she gets questions in the community, hey, I noticed you're pregnant. Where's your significant other, you know? Where's your husband? And she says, well, hey, guess what? I got pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah, great. Have a great day. Have a great day. So here she was suffering all this probably ridicule from the community for her circumstances here at the age of, let's say she was 15 years old, and just didn't have the dignity. So the shock of it all, I could imagine, would keep her from singing. I can't imagine her having a song in her heart as people are whispering about her behind her back and talking about her and putting her down and calling her all kinds of nasty names. She probably didn't have a lot to sing about in her circumstances, but yet she wasn't looking at her present circumstances. She was anticipating what God was going to do both for her and for the world. She was anticipating. On top of all that, I imagine as she, they sort of, when you look in scripture, going from her home to Elizabeth's home, she had to travel about 80 miles. And she didn't have an Uber. She didn't have any of those things. And so it was a nasty journey, probably very dirty and very painful. Here she was pregnant. Matter of fact, she was going to see relatives. How many of us get excited about going to see relatives? All right? Now, don't say anything, all right? Don't say anything at all. And so she was going to see relatives, and she probably had sickness and weariness from the traveling, all those things. And so when we read this text, we need to realize if there's someone who probably didn't have a reason to really have joy in her life, it was Mary herself. But yet, Mary still had joy. And even amongst her scandalous pregnancy and how unbelievable it was, as she told her story in the community and people doubted her, in the midst of all that shock, the strain, and the stress of what she went through, Mary still had a song in her heart. Some of us today, we think our life is pretty challenging. We think we have difficulties and things that we're going through, and you might even say, you know what? I was hoping God would help me, but he didn't come through. He didn't come through. Where was he when my loved one died? Where was he when this happened or that happened? And some of us, we've lost our joy. And we get up each day and we go through the motions. And I just want to encourage you today, that's not the way God wants you to live your life. And you don't have to. But you can find that joy again. And so Mary, she found her joy in her life. And when C.S. Lewis, when he referred to this text, he called this song terrifying. He said it was just terrifying in so many ways. And as Mary sang this song, and you notice the content of this song, she was really looking at a lot of number of things that she was claiming. Here's what God had done in the past. He had brought down the proud, and he had lifted up the humble. He had done all these things, and he brought about from generation to generation his work. Mary was claiming all these past things that really she was not around for, but she was claiming all these past things as a part of her foundation, her hope, her belief. And so when we look at this story or the song that Mary's singing, she's claiming all these things that she personally was not a part of, but she knew what her God had done in the past and that he would do it in the future. And so when she looked to the past, she began to realize, my God was faithful then. He will be faithful and bring me through the ridicule, the scandal. He'll bring me through every part of it if I just trust him. All of Mary's announcements within her song, they were things yet to come, or things that had happened in the past, but yet her birth was something that was yet to come. One day there will be justice in our world. And some days we get frustrated because we see sometimes evil advancing and getting ahead of good. We think evil is winning and good is sometimes getting beaten down. And too many believers in churches today have lost their joy and their salvation because they say, well, boy, where is God? Why is evil winning and good isn't? But Mary knew that the rest of the story was yet to be told. And we need to realize that in this day and age, if we want our joy to be there overflowing and in abundance, we have to do what Mary did. We need to look to the past and say, you know what? Our God was faithful back then. He did all those things. He'll be faithful in the future. For some of us, we have stopped believing that God really answers prayer. Honestly, I really believe that. Some believers today have really stopped authentically believing that their God is able to answer prayer. And because of that, they've lost their joy in serving God. They go through the motions because they feel guilted or obligated, but the fire isn't there. You look into their eyes and there's no twinkle, there's no spark, there's no passion for what they're doing. And then you say, where is it? Why is that passion missing? And so believers have stopped believing that God is able to do the impossible, have stopped believing in what the stories have told us from the past he did. Mary, in this particular story, she is not singing because of the past. She is singing because she believes her future is bright. She's singing because she has a hope. She's singing not because of the scandal that surrounds us. She's singing because of her God and the joy of knowing that he is faithful. She anticipates that his justice and his will and his restoration and all those things that are going to happen through Christ will happen in her time. So this morning, as we sing and look at Mary's song, are you still anticipating God to do something special in your life? If you're not, then the future looks bleak. But you know what? It's not bleak. And I'm here to remind you of that today. So we need to be like Mary. And that was all the sort of the beginning of my message, you know. So another couple of hours, I should be done. We'll be ready to go. But I just want to encourage you that joy is not found just looking backwards. Joy is found in anticipating what God is going to do in the days ahead. Here at Spotlight Church, we're anticipating and we're in the process of securing our own location, moving out of the hotel and moving to our own location, and we're working on that. The location that we're looking at is up before the city of Stratford right now to see if we can get an occupancy permit in there. Be praying about that because our best days are ahead of us. And for that reason, we have a lot to celebrate and be joyful about. And God is going to do great things. Amen? Amen. Oh boy, you're good. I wanted to see if you were there. So two things I want to leave you with, and I'll do this very quickly, and how we need to be like Mary. First of all, Mary rejoices because God is her courageous conqueror. He is her mighty warrior. Mary, in her song, she begins, as I said already, it lists all the things that God had done. He had performed mighty deeds. He had scattered the proud, brought down rulers, exalted the lowly. He had deprived the rich, and he had filled and given blessings to the poor. Notice all those things Mary claimed personally for her own foundation, for her own life. She believed because of that foundation on which she was standing on, she could believe God for the future. And I want to encourage us today, as we look at this song of Mary, all the things that she is claiming, you can claim this morning as well. Have you ever considered God's mighty acts were done on your behalf? Don't look to the person next to you. Forget about your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Have you ever considered that all the mighty acts of the past, God did them for you? That's what Mary was doing. God did those for you. When God called Abraham, he did it for you. When God rescued Isaac, he did it for you. When God preserved Egypt through Joseph and the Israelites were led by Moses, God did that for them, but he did it for you. When God anointed judges like Deborah and Samson and prophets like Samuel, he did that for you and for me. When God took the crown from King Saul and he gave it to King David, he did that for you and for the plan that he has for us. When God rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem through a person named Nehemiah, and when he revived the Israelites through Ezra, he did that for you and for me. And the reason I say that this morning is because as we look back at those stories of what God had done and how he had been faithful to his people, we can stand on that foundation. That is our hope. We know that even non-biblical writings, secular writings, tell some of these stories and these characters on things, incredible things that happen. Folks, that is our heritage as followers of Jesus Christ. And because of that foundation, we can stand today and say, wow, he did it then. He can take care of my finances. He can help me in my marriage. He can help me raise my kids. Our God is faithful, folks. And if there's anything we need to get during this Christmas, this Advent season, is that if you want joy in your life, you've got to believe again in what God wants to do in your future and in your life, as well as my own. And here's where Mary's joy came from. She believed that her mighty warrior, her courageous conqueror, is what God was in her life, and that whatever problems she was going to face, her mighty God was there. He did it then, he'll do it again. Folks, you need to do that today. Instead of asking why God in his life like this, why not say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust. Sometimes we need to give that question why a rest and just trust, because he did it in the past. Folks, he will take care of you no matter what you're going through today. Mary realized that. Mary, number two, she realizes that God is also her closest companion. Your closest companion in your life is not your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse. Your closest companion, even though you have great people around you, your closest companion should be God. He is the one that will stick closer to you than a brother. He was the one that will see you through. Mary had the ability to rejoice and to have joy in her life in spite of the scandals she was in the midst of, because her closest friend wasn't the neighbor next door who had a waggy tongue telling stories about everybody. Her closest friend was God. She knew what it was to walk with him, to talk with him. She knew what it was to know the scriptures of old and what it said about prophecies and promises. She knew all of that. And today, sometimes we have believers today who don't even know what the Bible says. And then they say, well, why am I having a hard time being a Christian? Well, it would help if you would just get to know your closest companion, get to know Christ and what he has to say for your life. Do you ever think of God as your friend? I hope you do. We are supposed to realize that God is our friend. The foundation of our friendship with God is realizing that it's not a friendship of equals. It's a friendship of two very unequal parties. God and his friendship with us is not because he's equal with us. He is far above us in every way imaginable. But yet he has chosen to have friendship with humanity. He's chose to have a relationship with us. It's not a relationship of equals, but yet Mary realized that her closest companion, her closest friend, was God. Can you say that today, that your closest friend is God, that he walks with you and talks with you? Mary, she knew all the covenants of old. She knew about the vassal covenants and all that kind of suzerain covenants. See, I'm just impressing you with some great words, but you know, she knew about all the covenants of old, but in spite of all that, she knew that God was her closest companion in her life. He was the one that would bring her through. And I want to say to you today that during this Advent season, God wants to be your closest companion. When life hurts, when you get a bad post on Facebook, when Instagram doesn't go your way, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's even closer than a click. He's closer than a like. You can even wave at him if you want. God wants to be your closest companion. God reaches out to us today, right here at Spotlight Church, right here this morning. Whether young or old, rich or poor, God's reaching out to us. And he says, I'm reaching out to you, not because I need you, but because you and I need him. We need him if we're going to have joy in our life. So today, I want to encourage you. You need to know this. You need to know Mary's song. You need to follow Mary's example. This text in the Bible matters to you right here in 2018, because Mary is teaching us what it means to be able to rejoice in the midst of all the pain and the stress and the depression of what she was going through. Real joy can be brought into your relationship today if you make Christ your closest companion in your life. We all have different stuff happen in our lives. We have different blessings. We have curses. Call them that. We have challenges that go on. We all have different things. We don't all live the same life. But in the midst of all of our experiences, we can rejoice. Let me say it again. We can rejoice. Hallelujah. And so Mary, in spite of the stress, the strain, and the shock, she sang. How many of us have a song in our heart today in the midst of all that we're going through? Regardless of the world may think of your circumstances, you can rejoice and you can have a joy in your heart that passes everything else. So we need to learn, like Mary did of old, that if you want to have joy, you need to make Christ your courageous conqueror, your mighty warrior in your life, that nothing is impossible for him. And you need to make him your closest companion. Mary's life was radically different. Yes, different because of the birth or giving birth to Jesus Christ in her pregnancy. But I want to ask you today, how is your life different because of God's work in your life? How is your life different? Or are you just like anybody else, living each day in the fog, going through it, no hope, no faith, no real future, no dreams? I refuse to live my life that way. Absolutely refuse. Because, is it because I've read all the books on positive thinking? No. I know what he did for me in the past. I know how he's answered my prayers. And if he did it for me in the past, I can anticipate great things in the future. Do you, and I just close with this, do you know that of some of the most discouraging and hopeless places in our community are? Some of our most discouraging places are with our seniors who live in senior care. Sometimes our seniors, they wonder, can God still use me? I'm still here. Can God still have a plan for my life? I worked in a nursing home for a number of years while I was working my way through university. And for me, I had my eyes opened. I had my eyes open, and I realized that so many of our seniors had lost their joy. Why? It's because God forgot about them? No, God always remembered every one of them. But a lot of our seniors have lost the joy because they stopped believing that God has something in the future. They thought their life was over. That's not the case. Until the day you take your final breath, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And our senior population need to be reminded of that. Our younger population today, do you know what is growing rampantly amongst our teenagers? Suicide. Can you imagine in the prime of your life, why would you want to take your life? Is it because you've lost hope, joy? Folks, what our world needs is not more gadgets and gizmos. What our world needs is to return back and capture what Mary knew. That's why it's important that you capture this today as you leave this place. Make Christ your most mighty warrior, and believe and trust and have faith and hope, and he will put a joy in your life because he's not done with you yet. There's great things yet to come in your life. Do you believe it? I hope you do. Without it, you won't have joy. And make him your closest companion. Through thick and thin, he will never leave you or abandon you. He won't post bad things on Facebook about you. Anything. How about it today? Mary's song matters. Your life matters. So let's stand together in closing. Lord, today I have tried to be faithful in the word that you've laid on my heart, and I try to be faithful in teaching your word and reminding each of us here today of Mary and the song that she sang. Lord, as we look at that song and we think, how could she sing in the midst of all of her circumstances, but she did. Lord, how can we sing today? The pastor doesn't know. If he knew how difficult my life is right now, he would know that I wouldn't be able to be joyful because of my circumstances. Lord, help us to stop believing the lies. Help us, Lord, to be set free and to realize, Jesus, that no matter where we've been or what we've done, no matter how dark our sin is, no matter how difficult our past is, Lord, you have not given up on us. And so, Lord, today, through this Advent season, there may be folks here this morning that need to put joy or have joy come back into their life. And it may not all happen today, but Lord, encourage them today to take one step towards you and to begin to believe again for what you're able to do. And Lord, through that, put joy back into their hearts. Lord, we think of the psalmist that says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." There's so many believers today that are just going through the duty of being religious and have lost the joy. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's lost their joy and they've lost their fire, lost that passion, God, restore unto them the joy of your salvation. Lord, speak to your people today. Continue to shepherd us. Even as we close out this service, we ask that you would go with us, that your love would surround us, that you would wrap your arms around us, speak into our circumstances, speak into our difficulties, even speak into our good times, and help us to never forget about you. So go from this place, Lord. Help us to have a bounce in our step, a sense of joy, because not because of the past, because we still believe, Lord, there's dreams yet to be lived. Go with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go today. And as you go, try not to be grumpy with one another. Just try to smile and greet one another. Take time to love and encourage one another. God bless you, and we'll hope to see you again next week.